AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Your parents aren't going to be around forever. And because my dad got dementia at such a young age, I think that really just made me be like, whoa, okay, I have the rest of my life to live my life, but I only maybe have a few more years to be a family like this. So feel me when I bring it, sing it loud. I'm from the loop and I'm proud. Run a mile for the cause. I'm righteous above the law. Hi guys, it's your girl Nechama, your favorite Jew from the Lou. Welcome back to my podcast. So today we have Sharon.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you here. Sharon's my girl. She's the person who I always talk to when I need to just talk about life. And it's so funny because we used to work together and you know everyone in the office, but you don't always get an opportunity to connect with everyone you work with. Mm-hmm. And me and this other girl at the office were once just talking about boys and our dating issues. And you just happened to stumble in the room and you're just like needing something, but you overheard us. And you're like, you should just know, I have a degree in psychology. So if you ever need to talk. And we're both like, well, we really don't know what we're doing. We're all pretty messed up. So yeah, maybe we should talk. And then we started going out to lunch. It was like, mm-hmm. I feel like we went every month. At least once a month.
We did for a while.
It was really, really nice.
It was great.
We just kept connecting. And then I would just, every time I needed to talk to you, I would just come find you. You always had snacks. So that was a draw as well.
Snacks are a must.
Yeah. But to get down to it, we have like a really light, beautiful friendship. But there's also times when you've just gone above and beyond for me. For example, right now while we're filming this episode, it's St. Louis summer. It's super hot. Super humid, and last summer my AC broke, and like most people, I'm just a brat when it's hot. I can't, like, I just cannot handle the heat at all. And I came to work so early, which is not like me, just because it was so hot and like I knew it was going to be air conditioned at work. But you know, my parents, they're home during the summer because my mom's a teacher. My dad's home all day since he has dementia. Mm-hmm. And I just felt for them, and my landlord wasn't doing anything about it. And I mentioned it to you, and your own air conditioning unit wasn't working, but you drove all the way out with Danny, your husband, to my apartment, and you came to fix it. And then, of course, obviously, when you drove out, my landlord was there.
That's okay. That's good though.
But it was good. You were good luck. You finally got him to like get his act together, because I guess he was like, oh no, I don't want anyone else doing it because I don't want to have to deal with that.
Right.
But I just remember that, and it just goes to show like how big your heart is. The fact that you were just willing to take on two girls who needed help with dating and also just come. You're a real friend.
Thank you.
Yeah. I really appreciate you. And then in one of our conversations, I opened up to you about the fact that I had a dad with dementia. Mm-hmm. And you do as well.
I do as well.
So what's been crazy is that I've been talking to a lot of people recently, and it really astounds me how many people are dealing with this issue where they have a loved one who has dementia or Alzheimer's. So I thought this would be a great space to talk about our two different experiences, talk about the rough times, talk about the funny light times, and just kind of give people a space to know that they're not alone and just keep it real.
Sure.
So let's start with, how long ago was your dad diagnosed with dementia?
So he's been diagnosed with dementia for about 3 years. He started with Parkinson's. And we're in year 10 now, pushing year 10 with Parkinson's. And if anyone out there knows, when you have Parkinson's, long-term Parkinson's, it leads to dementia. It just does. So we're in year 3 or so of dementia. And it's getting difficult. You know, it's getting difficult for Dad to even finish a thought or a sentence. And what's even more difficult is to watch him not be able to finish it, because he knows. He knows, well, I had a thought,
yeah,
and I just couldn't get to the end of it, you know? So it's difficult to watch that, especially when you're a daddy's girl.
Yeah. You know,
you watch Daddy decline, and that's hard to deal with.
I just think whether it's your dad or your mom, you're just never prepared to be in a position where what do they say? Like passing the baton, right? Like now it's your turn to step up.
Very true.
And be the one to take care of your parents. Because no matter what age you're at, like, you can be 100 years old and you're still like, no, I want my parents to take care of me. I'm not ready to be an adult. I'm not ready to step into this role.
That's still mom and dad.
Yeah.
No matter how old they are or you are, it's still mom and dad.
Yeah. And it's something like, whether it's dementia or any other health issue, it's something that everybody goes through.
Right.
At a certain point. So can you share some of the harder times, like, that you were just talking about? Like, for example, my uncle actually talked to me about this. He's a psychologist, and we were talking about how it's really difficult because, like you said, my dad knows, but mm-hmm. it's almost like he's a prisoner of his own mind.
Very true.
Which is so painful to watch.
It is. I have a lot of difficult moments that flash through. Probably one of the more difficult is watching not just his mind, but his body decline, because with Parkinson's, you know, and it's difficult to watch this guy who I honestly think used to pride himself on being lighthearted and full of jokes. You know, and now he tries to tell a joke and he can't finish a joke. He doesn't remember, you know, the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him become someone he is not. So he had surgery just a few weeks ago. Actually, he had a pacemaker put in. He was having some issues being lightheaded and fainting almost. And the bottom of his heart wasn't working right. So we put a pacemaker in. Seems to fix the problem. But for anyone who isn't aware, when a patient has dementia, anytime you put them under anesthesia, it furthers their progression of dementia.
No, I didn't know that.
It does. So that's been difficult because my dad, having Parkinson's, he had the surgery that Michael J. Fox had. So it's a brain surgery where they put you under, but then they wake you up and you're literally sitting in a chair and they do surgery on your brain because I'm not specific on all the details, but they need you to be awake so that as they manipulate your brain, they need to hear your speech to make sure that they're not interfering with your speech. So they do one side of the brain, and then a few months.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Later, they come in and they put this implant on the other side of the brain. So it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul. So you're trying to help the Parkinson's, but then it furthers the dementia.
Yeah.
And then other health-related issues, you give him a pacemaker. Well, it furthers your dementia. And as he comes off of the anesthesia, as he wakes up from surgery, each time it gets more and more difficult for him to come back to who he is. So and when he's doing that, he doesn't understand where he is, and he's becoming someone he's not, who he just isn't. So he, this gentle man that's prided himself on having jokes all his life and, you know, being fun and lighthearted, is finding himself with a pair of scissors in his hands, threatening people, stay away from me. you know, or threatening to hit my mom.
Yeah.
My dad would never in a million years do that.
Yeah.
And it's not something you tell dad later.
Yeah.
Because he would be so heartbroken. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing you tell him, you know. So it's not only the decline of my dad and who he is, but it's also watching my mom treat him, which she was a nurse. So she does it very well. And she can treat him very well of separating herself, saying, okay, he's having an issue. I need you to call security. He needs to get the scissors out of his hands. So she does a really good job disassociating herself from wife and nurse.
Wow.
when need be, which is amazing to watch my mom do that. But at the same time, so I'm watching my dad's health decline, and then I watch my mom, who it's, you know, struggles, helping my dad all the time. And there's that fine line of, well, mom, do you think maybe, you know, we're at the point where we might need help? You know, we need to get you help coming into the home, or I don't think we're ready for a nursing home yet, but mm-hmm. just finding that line, and that just all of that combined is difficult.
And nursing homes are such a scary thought, because I have experiences from my grandparents where I feel like it's almost like a death sentence when you send them to nursing homes. They just don't give them the proper care, and they're not treated as human beings. They're patients, you know. It's such a different thing. And we've had the same conversation about my dad too. You know, he's still highly functioning, so he doesn't need to be in a nursing home at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And we're doing our best to keep him out of the nursing home for like as long as possible, because we'd rather him be here. We'd rather him be around his loved ones and his home, especially because since he's forgetting so many things, being in an environment that he's familiar with is so important.
That familiarity is so important.
So you've met my mom, and she's like the most positive, bubbly human being ever. And she is so positive to the point where sometimes I feel like, God bless her, she's a little naive. And I'm just like, I get so nervous, and I get so overprotective. And then she's just like, no, he doesn't have dementia. He has clear dementia. He knows a lot more than you think he knows. And she lets him go for walks. Like, people in the neighborhood, they stop my dad all the time. They stop us when they see us. And they're like, your dad is a legend. They're like, he's amazing. He's inspirational. Because he's just walking with his little walker. And he wears a full suit. My dad is just old school. He has a full suit. He's got his little vest, his tie. And then he wears this hat that we got from Target that says the legend.
I love it.
He just walks along. And, you know, like you said, there's a lot of painful, hard moments to watch. It's hard to see, like, your father figure, like, crumble and disappear. And I heard it phrased so well in another podcast called School of Greatness. The host of that show, his dad had a brain injury. And so he said that while his dad lived for a few more years after it, I think it was another 8 or 10 years after the injury, he said, it's such a complicated feeling as a loved one of someone who's in that situation, because they're still here in person. So you're mourning the person that they once were, but learning to love the new person that they become.
Absolutely.
Which, when I heard that, I was like, wow, you get it. Like, you understand what it's like. But I feel like you have to find the humor in it as well, because that's literally the only way you can get through it.
Oh, absolutely. So when my dad does remember a punchline to a joke, we laugh harder than we ever have.
Yeah.
You know, because that's special to
us. It's wholesome.
And at the same time, that's exactly right. You go with the flow, because you know, later that day in the hospital is we're coming back around and we know who we are again, right? He ties things in together and he gets confused. So we're watching the ball game, and this particular instance actually was last year before Pujols retired, right? So we're watching the Cardinals game, sitting in the hospital room for a different procedure that he had, and we're sitting there and we're watching the ball game, and you know, we're talking about golf for whatever reason. And dad goes, oh yeah, Pujols and I were on the roof of the hospital last week hitting golf balls. And I was like, you and Pujols were on the hospital roof hitting golf balls? He's like, oh yeah, it was great. I'm like, that is awesome, dad. You know, you go with the flow. You know? He's confused. He doesn't understand it, but you go with the flow.
100%. My dad had a dream like about a month ago that he took the bar, and now he's a lawyer. my dad was an accountant.
Right.
So, and he like woke up and he was like so excited, like a little kid, like the whole day. He's like, this is so exciting. I'm going to be a lawyer. We're like, that's great, Dad. Like, you're going to be a lawyer. Good for you. That's amazing. We're so proud of you. We should celebrate. We're going to get you a Diet Coke because my dad has an obsession with Diet Cokes. So I have to share a story because it's so good. It's so, so great. So my dad has an obsession with Diet Coke. Diet Coke is terrible for you. It has tons of chemicals and it probably caused a lot of the health issues that he's had, honestly. But he loves it so much. It brings him so much joy. And even when he's out of it, it's like the one thing that can bring him like back to it. If he's like going through like a tantrum or, you know, like a bad headspace because of the dementia, like you say Diet Coke and it just calms him down. So it truly is his drug of choice. So my dad goes on these walks around the neighborhood. And every single day, he was coming home with this beautiful, brand new stainless steel water bottle. Every day, a new stainless steel water bottle filled with Diet Coke. And we're like, who gave it to you? And he said, oh, a friend. Now, he has dementia. He really doesn't remember, right? But he's also tricky. He's clever. So we're just like, oh, what weirdo is just giving him like brand new water bottles filled with Diet Coke? Now, my dad's charming. This is very possible that he can do this. And we just didn't know what happened. And I say this jokingly, but luckily there were some robberies in our
neighborhood. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Neighborhood. And so our landlord installed a video camera. And this is the only reason why we ever figured out what happened. So apparently, my dad, for probably a good 2 months, was going to Walgreens across the street and was taking brand new water bottles and a bottle of Diet Coke from the fridge, pouring it in and walking out. And nowadays, they have this rule at Walgreens where they can't try to stop you from stealing. They just call the police. Mm-hmm. But my dad's fast when he wants to be. He's a little speeder with his little walker, okay? And there's a nursing home right across the street from Walgreens. So they thought that he was from the nursing home. So by the time the cops got there, my dad, long gone. So they're doing this whole intervention at the nursing home looking for my dad. Can't find him. Meanwhile, again and again, day in, he's doing this, stealing Diet Coke. It's insane. So he comes home and one day and they finally do a stakeout. They follow him home. And so we see on the video camera that my dad is talking to two cops and they hand him a ticket because my dad, he's high functioning dementia at this point. So they couldn't tell. They just thought he was a sweet old man who's stealing. But whatever. They give him a ticket, not realizing. My dad, we see in the video, tears up the ticket and throws it away. We would have never known. And except for this video camera. So then my neighbors tell my mom. And so my mom has to go down to the police station to explain to them the situation. And so we're really lucky, like the police officer was super respectful and so nice. And they're like, listen, we'll drop the charges, but you need to work this out with Walgreens. So God has a sense of humor and he works things out because it turns out that the manager of Walgreens, actually her mom had dementia. So she got it. She understood. She's like, listen, we're not going to do any charges or anything, but he's banned from Walgreens for the rest of his life. And there's a photo of my dad at Walgreens with my mom's number just in case he sneaks in sometime. But it's just crazy. But meanwhile, so he hasn't been back there, but he has charmed neighbors that we have. And he, every day on his daily walk, he gets Diet Coke. So truly my dad has some Coke dealers in the neighborhood. It's just like one of those things at this point you have to laugh about because you're just like, it's the darndest thing. It's literally the darndest thing. But I've been where you've been at too, where there's been those scary moments where it's like, I've learned so much about, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Because certain times with my dad, like I get scared or I get frustrated and then I'll snap at him. Be like, no, you shouldn't be in the kitchen. No, you shouldn't be eating this right now. Because he forgets that he's eaten. He's just eating all day long. And so I'll snap at him and like he'll react to that tone of voice. And so then I remember there was one time when he like pulled out a butcher knife and started waving it at me. And I was just like, put the knife down. Like, what are you doing? And he did. He like calmed down, but it was really scary. Like for a moment, like.
Correct. It's difficult to remember sometimes that they're not who they used to be.
No.
And they will react differently.
And it's, I think, a lot easier to have patience with children, because children, you're like, okay, they don't know as much. They're growing. It's quite literally your job to raise them. But like when it's your dad or your mom, you're like, they should know better.
You expect that they would know.
Right? Yeah. And then you're like put in this mode where you're almost like the parent or the caretaker. And it's really, really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can't be frustrated at them because then they react that way. And it's not fair to them because it's not their fault that they have dementia.
Correct. And they don't know what they're doing.
No. And so like it's just, I think it's been a very humbling experience because it's taught me that I need to really take a look at how I speak to people.
Mm-hmm. It allows you to stop and think before you speak.
A big thing my dad used to drill into me ever since I was like a little kid was that he's like, you need to speak with people, not at people.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I find that super challenging.
It can be. You're right. It can be, because sometimes you just want to smack somebody on the back of their head and be like, what are you thinking?
Yeah. It's like someone didn't slap you when you were a kid, so now I got to. I don't know.
Snap out of it.
Oh, man. We were just talking about how, you know, there's so much personal growth that you have to go through. And I also experienced, like, you know, still living at home with my parents. There's many reasons why I choose to still live at home, but one of them is because my dad has dementia and he's had so many health issues. And I just think how like special this time period is, where it's like I can still be with my parents and I can give back to them in such a full, unique way, because I can completely give my energy to them at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And your parents aren't going to be around forever. And because my dad got dementia at such a young age, I think that really just made me be like, whoa, okay, I have the rest of my life to live my life, but I only maybe have a few more years to be a family like this. And I just want to be here for them, you know?
And that's great. I love that you do that.
Yeah.
That's great.
I also try to be like a comic relief. That's what I do a lot. It's a very Jewish thing, I think, with pain. Just laugh about it. It's like, forget therapy. We're just going to joke. It's fine. But my mom is not a nurse. She's a first grade teacher. So for her, taking on that caretaker role, she's gotten the hang of it. It's been 4 years now, you know. But it was really, really like gut-wrenching to watch, you know, because my dad also had just recovered. He didn't have Parkinson's, but a few years before. So he got dementia when I was 23. And when I was 20, he had stage 3 colon cancer. So I don't know if it was the chemo, the Diet Coke, lifestyle, who knows, you know, what quite led to it. But I remember there was one time when he fell and he had a seizure in my arms.
Oh, wow.
And it was like the most terrifying thing, because my dad's just like shaking uncontrollably and frothing in the mouth and his eyes are just rolling back in his head. And it's like, it's my dad. Like, he's supposed to be strong. He's supposed to be there for me. And I'm like holding him. And I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Thank God I watched Grey's Anatomy, because I knew to like roll him on his side so he wouldn't choke on his own tongue. So for anyone who like says bad things about these medical shows, sometimes they do help. But I remember I was just saying, so in English it's Psalms, but in Hebrew it's Tehillim. And I was just saying it super, super fast. And it was like, you couldn't even hear the words because I was saying it so fast. And I was just saying it again and again and again and again and again. And then finally my dad, I guess, comes out of his seizure, like it ends, and he just grabs my wrist and he's like, slow down. He's like, it's fine. I'm like, you just had a seizure. We are not fine. But my dad has the biggest heart, because, for example, the first time he had health issues, I was 12 years old. And my mom, like I said, she's a teacher, so she was in school. I was in school. And my dad knows that my mom hates hospitals. And he felt something in his chest. He felt pain. So he took himself to the hospital, because he's a vet. So he went to the VA. And they took him for free and took care of him. And there were some great doctors. Like, we've been very blessed because every time my dad has had a health issue, they have a rotation of doctors over there. And it's always been the specialty that my dad needs who was on call. Mm-hmm. Like, God just put all the right pieces at the right time. And so my dad calls my mom and he says, "Hey, honey, I don't want you to be concerned, but I'm going into open heart surgery. And I know you're teaching and you'll get this voicemail, but I'll call you when I'm done." And hangs up and goes into open heart surgery. And my mom listens to it at recess and she's like, "What?"
And of course, can't call back because he's in surgery.
He's
right?
in surgery. So she's, you know, she finishes off school because she's crazy too. And then we go to the hospital afterwards because, like, what else are we going to do? And my dad comes out of open heart surgery. Thank God it was all well. Meanwhile, he's been there for what, like a day? He knows my mom is scared of hospitals. So he borrows a nurse's raspberry scrubs so that he can walk through the hospital with dignity without those, you know, hospital gowns with his butt just sticking out everywhere. So he's like, "No, I want to be dignified." So he borrows raspberry scrubs so it makes his complexion look phenomenal. He grabs that IV. Is that what it is? Like
the stand?
The stand. He's walking with it. He has wires. He looks like he ran away from a psychiatric ward. And he meets us after open heart surgery. He left. He snuck out and met us in the parking lot. And then
really,
he's just like, "Come on, guys, let me give you a tour." And he's walking through the hospital. I don't know how he does this. He knows everyone. He's like, "Hi, Bob." He's like passing by different people in their rooms and they're all waving at him. He's flirting with the nurses. We're like, "How long have you been here?" It's actually insane. But I just remember, like, that was the first time when, like, I just saw my dad. Like, then he, like, did lay down because he was tired, obviously. And I just remember looking at him and being like, "God, I was so angry." And I now know as an adult, like, for me, that's how I express fear. Like, I was just afraid. But it came out as anger. And I remember just throughout the years being so angry at him for being sick.
Keep that thought for later.
For later?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you ask me a different question.
Okay, I will. But yeah, I was just so angry at him. Do you feel like you've gone through that emotion with your dad being sick?
No, I really haven't.
Okay.
And maybe because I'm an adult, too, and I understand it, and I understand that it's not his fault. It's more just, for me, it's not fair for me to be angry. If anybody wants to be angry, I think my dad should be angry.
Yeah.
You know, but you can get angry all you want. It's not going to change the situation, right?
That's true.
So
it never does.
No, it doesn't. So you can be upset and cry. You can be angry, and that's fine. That's, you know, human emotions. But get over yourself.
Yeah.
Because you have a bigger picture, and life isn't about you. At the moment, it's about Dad. So you pick yourself back up, and you go, and you help Mom and Dad.
You know, my friend told me a great quote, which was, "I know the world doesn't revolve around me, but mine does."
Very true.
And that's a very real statement, but it is something that we need to get past. So, like, in Judaism, we talk about how, like, when a baby is born, their little fists are clenched. And then when they die, there's a group that, like, prepares the body for burial. They're called the Chevra Kedisha. And there's a whole process in how you prepare the body before it's buried. And part of it is you actually open up the hands. Because the whole point of life is you're born as a taker. And you need to learn to give. So I try to remember that this is just an opportunity for me to learn to give in a different way. Like, I was so lucky that I had a dad who was there for me and loved me unconditionally for the first 23 years of my life. Like, not a lot of people can say that. And so now it's my turn to give back. That's on a positive day. On a negative day, I'm immature and I'm like, "I'm too young. I can't deal with this." I go back and forth. I'm human.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
I think everybody does. It doesn't matter your age. It's difficult seeing your parents in that state.
It is. You're never ready.
No. Doesn't matter what age.
No. And also, like, you talked about your dad's personality changing. Mine did as well, in a different way, actually. My dad, before this, was very old school, stoic, traditional man. Like, his way of showing love was by making money and providing for the family. And so he wasn't very good at like necessarily being emotional and verbal and romantic per se. His way of showing love was by providing and putting a roof over our head. Mm-hmm. And he was a workaholic. He had his own business. So we didn't really see much of him, you know, growing up. And so when he got dementia, his personality, like whatever wall he had up to guard all those emotions, came down. And now he's so lovey-dovey. He tells me that he loves me like a million times a day. He tells me he's so proud of me. He tells me I'm so beautiful. If I sing, he'll like start crying. If I dance, he's like, go girl. And he starts clapping. Like he gets so into it. And my mom, he's like, my mom says that dementia saved their marriage.
Really?
Yeah. Because beforehand, you know, it's nice to be provided for, but you marry the person for a reason. You know, you want mm-hmm. to be with them. So my mom is just like, she wanted the lovey-dovey stuff. She wanted the words of affirmation. She wanted time with him more than she wanted the money. And so when he got dementia and he could no longer provide, he was so heartbroken because he couldn't be a man in his mind. And we're just like, you don't understand. We want you. You can still be a husband. You can still be a father. No one will ever take that from you. And so my dad, he asked my mom to marry him multiple times a day. He's like, will you marry me? I love you so much. And they hold hands and they're just mushy-gushy. And this is just, I'm like, I gotta move out. Because he's always like, you want to have sex? To my mom. And I'm just like, no, I still live here. And the stork came and I can't deal with this right now. This is too much. But they're super lovey-dovey. And like my mom, they go everywhere together. Right now, I kick them out of the apartment and they're getting manis and pedis. They're just adorable. Like it's really sweet. But it brought on a totally different side in him.
That's awesome though. That's awesome. It allows that time that she never had before with him now.
Yeah.
So I think that's great.
Yeah. But it's so weird for me because it's like I said, I was used to that stoic father. So a lot of times my dad wants to like give me a hug or a kiss, but then he gets really emotional and starts crying and I can't handle the tears. Like it freaks me out to see my dad cry, like absolutely freaks me out. So whenever I leave for work in the morning, I always like, bye, I love you. And then I put my hand out and I shake his hand because I can't hug him. He'll start crying and then it'll freak me out. So I'm like, bye, sir. Have a good day.
That's great.
It's so funny. We could probably talk about this all day long. There's so many different stories, I think. But I'll end on a funny story that I have with my dad. And then I want you to share a funny story or a sad story, whatever you want to share about your dad. My dad, like I said, he wants to provide for the family. And he was an Uber driver before he got dementia. He loves cars. He loves people. It was the best job for him. So I was at work and my mom called me and she's like, you need to go pick your dad up from the bank. It's like, I'm working right now. And also, what did you just say to me? She's like, well, I'm teaching and I can't leave my classroom. So you'll just have to tell your boss that you got to go. She's like, yeah, he's at the bank. I'll explain later. I got to the bank to pick up my dad and he's just sitting there and he's like, what took you so long? I was like, what are you doing here? Apparently, my dad went to the bank and said to them, hey, you need to give me money so that I can buy a car and support my family. And then I told him, I'm like, I heard you try to buy a car. And he's like, no, they lied. And then I was like, in my back of my mind, I was like, does he really have dementia? Or was he just tired of walking and wanted a ride home? I don't know. That's where my brain goes sometimes. I'm like, is this just like a whole scheme that he just wanted to retire early? I don't know.
Well, I'll give you one that's opposite. It's not my dad, it's my mom. So I guess we were lucky all of our life where my mom was a nurse when they first got married. And then when us three kids came along, my mom never worked again. So my dad, we were lucky where my dad could provide for us. And so my mom wanted to do something nice for my dad's 50th birthday. So we went to a car dealership and we were looking for a car and she wanted to buy a car and, you know, put a big ribbon on it, you know, and put it in the driveway for him. So, you know, she picks out a car, she sits down, you know, my dad's been talking about this one car that he really likes and, oh, that'd be neat to have. She's like, I'm gonna get that for his birthday just to say I love you. And, you know, so she goes up to the car dealership and they're like, okay, great. Do you own your home? She's like, no. And I'm like, well, yeah, you do, Mom. She goes, no, we still owe money on it. I'm like, well, I understand the bank has a note on it, but you own your own home. You don't rent. She goes, oh, okay. That's and then, and then, okay, so where do you work? Oh, I don't work. I'm like, this is not going well.
Oh, man.
And then she's like, oh, and I'd like to just drive the car home to make sure he really does like it. And I want to put a bow on it. And then if he does like it, we'll just bring it back. And we'll, you know, maybe buy it then. And I'm like, and you just expect the car dealership to just let you drive a car home, Mom, without paying for it? So, turned out okay. They ran credit. They were like, oh, yes, yes, you can have the keys. Because funny thing, even though she doesn't work, she'll have, you know, like a JCPenney or Kohl's credit card in her name and not my dad, right? So, she actually has better credit than my dad, even though she doesn't work.
Good for her.
Just because she has one or two more credit cards that they pay off every month. So, funny thing. But, no, I just have all sorts of stories. So, growing up, actually, if there was something ironic that could happen to you, it would happen to us. I mean, literally, our friends used to call us the Griswolds. We were known as the Griswold family. Literally, they just called us the Griswolds. If it could happen to you, it would happen to us. So we just learned to take life in stride and we would laugh at it. So, I have a lot of fun, fond memories of family vacations and things that probably a lot of families didn't get to experience.
Yeah.
Just because of what we made of it. So that's what I carry with me.
It's that warm family, loving memories.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And it's so funny because as humans, we really acclimate very quickly, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, to the point where like you were able to take that quality and I have that quality with my family where even though we're going through such a trying time, we could find the humor, we could find the love, we could find the warmth. And it's just so crazy because I remember I was working on my car. I know that sounds surprising, but there's two things that I know how to do in my car. I know how to put windshield wiper fluid and I know how to clean the little fuzz balls off the
battery terminal.
Thank you very much.
Somehow I knew where you were going.
I appreciate that. You get me. So I have my hood popped up and I was dressed like I do, wearing heels and doing it. Because why not? I don't own anything casual. And then a family friend passed by and he's like, just starts chit-chatting with me. And he's like, wow, you know, I really give you and your mom credit. You really have like hard lives. And I was like, we do? In that moment, it was a good day. I wasn't having any, you know, hard times. And I was like, didn't faze me in that moment. You just kind of take life in stride and it is what it is. And if you can't change it, make the best of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So going back to earlier in the conversation, we talked about how you have a degree in psychology and you have given me and other girls dating advice, which is so helpful. I really, really miss working with you and having our little girl chats. That was
me too.
The best, like, especially because my stories are insane and very me. But there's a term where it's called dropping the hanky. And the concept is a lot of women think that it's not feminine or they think it's like overly masculine to like make the first move on a guy. And honestly, if you really want to say that you're a traditional woman, since the beginning of time, there was this concept where think old school, like Victorian era, women in gowns at a party and they couldn't even look at a man because it wasn't appropriate. And then the guy would pass by and she would just drop her little hanky. And then that was his cue. That was her way of being like, hi, green light, go for it. You got this. I like you. And your love story, my favorite of all time. I think you're a rock star and if you're comfortable, I would love for you to share your story.
What aspect exactly?
The whole thing. The whole thing. We want all the tea.
Well, my husband and I actually knew each other for about a dozen years before we ever got married. For him and I, it's actually both a second marriage. So he had gone through a divorce and I knew he had gone through a divorce. And then several years later, I went through a divorce. And I was actually his boss. So he was my contractor and I was his boss, and we knew each other for 12 years or so and never really thought much of it. We were friends, you know, we kind of supported each other through the, you know, the divorces and so forth. And then just kind of one day I was just kind of looking at him and I realized that he's exactly the man that I want in my life. You know, he's the son of a police officer and mom is a daughter of a Southern Baptist minister. So you'll have respect. So I would see him all the time, open doors for women, be polite. And I know that sounds funny because I'm not your typical girl. I probably do more guy things than I do girl things. I love mud runs. I ride motorcycles. I'm not your typical girl, which has been a struggle in our relationship too, because I'm used to being the man, right, of doing things. So I have to step back sometimes and let him be the man. But as I'm sitting here, I'm realizing he's like the perfect guy. You know, he knows how to treat people. He treats people with respect. He treats people with love, even though he's like a big burly guy. And a lot of people says he walks around with RBF, resting bitch face, and he doesn't even know it.
I don't think he does. Sidebar. Because like every time I see him, he always has like the most beautiful, gentle smile on his face.
Well, there are moments where he has this cowl on his face because he's thinking. He's just thinking. He's walking through and he's thinking. And apparently that's people think he's mean. I don't know. But anyway, so as time progressed, I just realized, you know, he was the perfect guy, you know. So one day we were together and I just leaned over and kissed him and he was so taken back. He's like, me? Me? I'm a big oaf. I'm ugly. I'm not your caliber. I don't deserve you. Where does this come from? You know, but even to this day, he still opens my car door for me. And you'd be surprised how many women go, oh, how sweet.
It is so sweet.
All the time.
Yeah.
And he'll, any woman, he'll open the door for. He gives respect to people. And that is such a genuine quality that I love about him. But yet he is still, you know, a man with the strongest hands I've ever seen. And will put the fear of God in anyone that comes between him and his family. You know, so he's can be very gentle and nice to anyone, but don't cross that line either.
Yeah, because boundaries.
Right, right. So, So then, you know, we get married and we go separate ways and we work different places and then we come back together again and I'm kind of like his boss again, you know, not only in life as a wife, but but then, you know, as we work together again, you know, I'm kind of his contractor again and ask him to go do things and things like that. So it works well. I'm just the boss all the way around. It works great. No, but there's that mutual respect that we have that, you know, we can go out to dinner or walk down a street or be somewhere public. And I can look at him and just say, I love you. And he's
You're
like, well,
so playful too.
Well, you have to be, you have to keep it fun and exciting, but just watching people this day and age, the lack of respect that couples have for each other is unbelievable to me, you know, and I may be wrong on something that I say, but you don't sit there and cut me down or I cut my husband down or like, you're dumbass or, you know, just the way people treat each other with lack of respect this day and age. My husband and I don't do that. And we may, you know, we may disagree. And if we do, we'll say it tactfully. Oh, I'm not really sure about that. Or maybe this.
And in private.
Yeah. And in private. Yes. Mm-hmm. And if it is done publicly, it's still done with respect.
Right.
You know, so that's something I love about him as well.
Now, how many years have you guys been married?
It will be 7 in October.
Okay. So I met him 3 years ago. I think this was before he even started working with us. Mm-hmm. And you brought him to some happy hour that we had. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I do.
You guys, I think at that point, had been married 4 years.
Okay.
But just seeing you guys and how playful and romantic and touchy-feely you were with each other, I legit thought you had just gotten married. I thought you were newlyweds. Because you have like that cute, lovey, like new romance kind of vibe. So what do you, would you say is like, you say you have to be playful, but what do you think is like the secret?
Well, I just touched on respect, but not only having respect for each other, you know, when you're out in public, but when you have a marriage, it is a team and it is 50-50. So, you know, crazy enough, he'll do just as much laundry as I do. If you see it sitting there and it needs to be done, he throws it in. If he sees dishes in the sink, he'll do it. You know, if the dog needs to be walked or, you know, the trash needs to be taken out, I do it.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's not uncommon for him to help me in the kitchen if we're having company over. And then it's not uncommon for when we needed to replace the brakes on the truck. He's on one side, I'm on the other side, and we're working away together. So I know a lot of
team overall.
We're a team, and there's not much we don't do together.
I love that. I was listening just this morning to a podcast called Almost Adulting, and they were talking, hopefully I don't butcher this concept because it was so beautiful, but sometimes like you try to portray things and it doesn't come out the same. But they were talking about how there's the question is love, is it a feeling or is it a choice? And I think a lot of people are scared of relationships because they're like thinking of love as a feeling. I'm scared. Am I going to always feel this way about this person? I can't guarantee that. Emotions change all the time. But you can guarantee that you are going to choose this person every single day. And so I think that's exactly like what you were saying in terms of the fact that no matter what the quote unquote gender role is, you guys work together in whatever that is. You're choosing each other. You're choosing to make time for the other. You're choosing to be that person's support. And I think that's probably a big part of the reason why you guys still have such a strong, like, lovable bond.
Well, and I think too that there's a difference with loving someone and being in love with someone. And I think, you know, you can make that commitment to marriage. And I feel like to be in love with someone takes work. And I think sometimes I see relationships where really I think I feel like they fall in and out of love, you know? And I think there's times even for my husband and I that, you know, we're a little farther apart and you bring it back together. You have to be aware of that and you have to be mindful of that to where maybe when you do feel like you're pulling it a little bit apart a little bit, you make that conscious effort to bring it back together. You can't let it be just a routine in your daily life where you just, you know, you get into these routines and all of a sudden it's about the kids and this and that. Which for us, our youngest just joined the military. Mm-hmm. So we're empty nesters actually now. So it's not a big difference for us. Because, you know, we were already kind of used to doing that anyway. I've always, you know, told my girls, you know, I would do anything for my kids, anything. But at the same time, they are second class citizens. You know, we come first, we provide, and we need time for us too. And you are part of the family, absolutely. But what we say goes, and you'll have that respect. And I think that's another thing, this day and age with kids and respect. And I'm whole another conversation for a whole other day. But it's just that underlying tone there is just respect for one another, for, you know, children, spouses, friends, you know, strangers.
Yeah.
You know, it's somewhere I think we lack respect for one another, you know, and just lacking respect for who you are, you know. Just because you're a Democrat or Republican, I don't like you. You know, are you serious? Why?
I mean, right.
That's what makes America great. That's what makes us who we are. You're allowed to have your opinion and live life the way you want to. Perfect. Go for it.
That's quite literally like my whole goal with the community that I want to build on this podcast. So it's called Jew from the Lou, which is just clever and fun. But it's not specifically a Jewish-themed podcast. I just happen to be a Jew from the Lou. And there's this Hebrew quote, which is, Ezehu chacham halomed mikol adam, which means one who is wise is one who learns from everyone. Because I think it's just like what you're saying. Like, we all have our own values and beliefs and the way that we go about doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But how beautiful would it be if we can learn from everyone in terms of not necessarily what other people do are you going to internalize, but just to have compassion, to have understanding, to be like, we don't all have to look at things the same way. There's a time and a place for everything. But I think we'll just become better human beings, and it's just will be a better world if we'd be willing to just hear people for where they're come from. So when you listen to other people, I was just coming up with this concept the other day and I was like, oh, this is brilliant. It could be I'm standing on the backs of giants and I probably read it from somewhere and forgot, but I really like this concept where there's two ways you can listen. There's listening to understand and there's listening to internalize. Mm-hmm. So I think we all should learn the quality of listening to understand. Just to understand someone. That doesn't mean you have to take on what they're saying. It doesn't mean you even have to agree with them. But understand them. Have compassion for where they're coming from. Maybe try to get to understand why they think the way they do. Where are they coming from?
Absolutely.
And then you can kind of marinate. You don't even have to make a decision right there and then. Take a step back, internalize, live your life, do your thing, and then decide, do I want to internalize or not? Do I want to accept what they've said or not? You don't have to. That's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. That's free will.
It is. And it's difficult because this day and age, people want to be the one that's right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've always told my kids a couple things, but you know, if there's a number, if there's a six right here between us, if you look at it, it's a nine, right?
Yeah.
If I look at it, it's a six. So just because I'm right doesn't mean that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. So there's more than one perspective and way of looking at things.
Right.
You know, another thing I've always told my girls is, you know, you two girls can be standing right next to each other and watch something happen, you know, an accident or something. And a police officer can come by and get both of your statements and he can get two completely different answers.
Yeah.
Because you draw based on your history and how you internalize things. And you draw from your own experiences,
yeah.
You know? So what someone just saw there could have brought back something that, oh my God, oh no, they were in the wrong, you know? Because it reminded them of something else.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get a completely different story. And you both stood right there. You witnessed the same thing.
Yeah.
Yet the police officer got two different answers, you know? So that's, you know, that's, it's difficult taking other people's perspectives sometimes, but I try really hard to, just because someone's different than me, I make it a challenge for myself to see why they're different from me and why they chose that path. And often I find my eyes are just open of, well, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I just didn't think of it that way. You know, there's times that my husband drives me a little crazy and I'll just stop and go, so why are you doing it that way? He goes, well, because of this or this. And I'm like, ha, made sense. I never would have thought of that. And he would say, well, what would you have done? I'm like, oh, well, I would have done that. And he goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense too. I should have done it that way. But what you're doing works. I'm just curious why you did it, you know? So it's just, we're so quick to anger because something isn't being done your way because you're right, right? And you're always the one that's right. It's just stopping and thinking before we open our mouths. Or when we do open our mouth, why are you doing it that way? Just curious, you know, and just trying to learn from people.
Human psychology is fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Like one of the biggest lessons that I've learned this year is to be like the most interesting person in the room. You need to be the most interested. That
absolutely
blew my mind. Because before this, it was always like, oh, I got to be cool. I got to have a good story. I have to, you know, be a good conversationalist, you know. Like, let's say small example. Typical break room talk on a Monday morning. Hey, how was your weekend? And every Monday, I'm always like, shit, I have to come up with some great story and sound interesting and sound like I have a life and sound like I did the coolest thing. And recently, like I'll give a little whatever review, if you will, of my weekend. But then I'll stop and be like, how was your weekend? And like actually really listen to the person. And it's completely changed the course of my conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just really stopping and listening to what other people say. Not just hearing it, but listening.
Also, I do want to share this with the public because this is some dating advice that you gave me that has been maybe not what I want to hear, but been very helpful. Because I think a lot of us get into like the mode where you meet someone and it doesn't end up working out and you're just like, ugh, I don't want to start over again. And, you know, it could get rough, but you always say it's just a stepping stone.
That's what I've told my girls. Every time you break up, you think that your heart is broken and you'll never love again and your world is coming to an end and it's it. Just kill me now, you know, is the attitude that they would always have. And I just reminded them that each boy is a stepping stone of the man you will marry someday.
Yeah.
So you date this guy that's fabulous and you break up and you think your world is coming to an end, but you will meet another guy. And if that guy isn't as fabulous as the one you broke up with previously, you're not going to want to have anything to do with him. You're going to look for someone that's just as good as him or better. Because once you do break up, you're going to kind of pick apart human nature. You're going to pick, oh, well, you know, you go through the steps of denial and this and that. Oh my gosh, it happened to me. Well, I didn't like him anyway. Blah, 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 blah. Right? So you're going to kind of break down the aspects that you didn't like of him. So I would tell my girls, you remember those aspects, because in the next guy, you don't want those. You want the guy that you had minus those. And each guy is a stepping stone. So while it hurts when you break up, there's a better guy out there.
Yeah.
And then if you learn that early on, then once you do break up and they're, you know, give it a little bit of time, you know, you remember he's just a stepping stone, right?
Right. And there are other people out there, which is hard to believe sometimes when you've made someone like your whole world. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that there can be another person because you've invested so much. But they always come along. There's always more.
They do.
It truly is. When you let go of the past and move on, mm-hmm. it really does open up. Just to end on a funny note, just today I got all the marketing girls singing my new theme song for my life, which is Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again. My, how can I resist you? They need an org chart for my life. It's okay. We'll figure it out.
That's funny.
Oh, man. So this has been so much fun. I think you are the most amazing person. You're so badass. I think we can talk about any subject for hours, but I want to end on a really inspirational note. So like I said, the whole point of this podcast was to create a space where we learn and we grow. So can you share either a quote or a life lesson of something that or someone has said to you that's left an impact?
So a quote that I heard one time was, life is hard. Choose your hard. So you can choose to be poor or you can choose to be rich. Choose your hard. It's hard either way. It's hard to be poor. It's hard to be rich. You can choose to be skinny or you can choose to be fat. It's hard either way. It's a hard life when you're fat, and it's a hard life to stay skinny. So you have choices in your life, and they're hard either way. But they're your choices to make, and they're your hard choices to make. And no one else can make them for you. So take responsibility and choose your hard. So that has always stuck with me.
Yeah.
Because there are times I'm like, oh, and then it's like, no, I'm gonna choose my hard here, you know? So I always liked that quote. And then something that has always kind of a little light that I found that someone helped kind of lead me to it one time, and then I realized. So you were talking earlier, and I said, remember that quote? Remember, you know, you're saying, you said that the fear that you had and the anger that you had because your dad all of a sudden was having the seizure and, you know, you didn't know, right? So I've realized in life that people have, especially now, right, after COVID and everything, people have such anxiety and fear and stressed out and things like that. And I'm realizing that as you break all that down and you keep asking why, right? Because you always want to get to the root of the problem, right? It always comes back to me to one thing, just one word, the unknown. It's the unknown is what causes anxiety. It's the unknown that causes fear. So if you can figure out that one factor in life of the unknown, your fear and your anxiety really subsides. And there are a few things in life, especially when you're talking about God and things like that, of, you know, you'll just never have the answers to, right? And you just kind of have to accept that. and on those things that you cannot figure out. That's what I've learned, that when I am feeling a little stressed or anxiety or fear, that's when I give it to God. I'm like, this is too much for me, buddy.
Let go and let God.
You've got this, man. This is all you, because a little too much for me right now. But the root of I feel fear, anger, anxiety, you know, is just the unknown. If you keep asking yourself why and getting to the root of the problem, it's because you don't know.
Ooh, you just reminded me of something so powerful. So Judaism in Hebrew, sometimes, so cool. There's some really powerful stuff. So in Hebrew, there's the way you say why is lama. And the same Hebrew letters that spell lama also spells the word lema, which means for what. So instead of asking why is this happening, you say for what reason what? Is this happening? How can I find purpose? How can I find purpose in this pain? How can I find a little more meaning?
What can I learn from this?
What can I learn from this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all in your outlook on life.
And you're absolutely right. Like I have come to that conclusion recently that anytime I felt anxiety or fear, which I realized that anger is actually just the big brother of fear, you know, I realized that inner peace is like my, not happiness, inner peace is my number one priority. And so giving up that fear and just like having faith that it's going to work out. And if I can control it, if I can do something about it, I absolutely will. All in, 100%. I'm a go-getter. But if I'm feeling like that stress and that anxiety and like nothing's really working, then maybe that's a sign that this is something bigger than me and I need to take a step back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. As a recovering type A, that's a little hard, but
it's very hard. You're right.
But it's worth it.
Absolutely.
This was such a good episode. I'm so glad you came on.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely.
So guys, it's been another episode of Your Favorite Jew from the Loo, and I appreciate you guys so much. If you loved this, please do me a favor. Leave a 5-star review, share it with a friend, share it with all your friends, share it on your stories. You can find me everywhere. And I'll see you guys next time. Have a great week. Let's get it. Let's go.